Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The world system tries to conform us to its ever-changing fashions and whims. It also tries to make people self-focused. However, Christ wants us to be conformed to His image. If we think like Jesus, then we will deny ourselves and meet the needs of others, all for the glory of God. This requires us to be transformed on the inside by God's Word and the power of His Holy Spirit. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 12 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of the first three verses.
Offer yourself to God, pleasing, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. The word reasonable there means it's the most logical thing to do. It's the most logical thing to do. The word reasonable, that which is governed by reason, thinking, speaking, or acting conformably to what is reasonable. Nothing can be more consistent with reason than you and I living our lives for Christ. Now, when he says your reasonable service, that word service in the Greek means worship. In other words, we're always worshiping. Our life is to be a life of worship. Reasonable. You think of all of the unreasonable things that people do with their bodies. I regretfully think of all of the unreasonable things that I did with my body before I came to Christ. You know, my wife and I were having a conversation the other day, and I don't want to get into any political thing here, but we've got people in the church and brothers and sisters, and some are vacciners and some are non-vacciners and this and that, and so we have to deal with all either side of them in the Lord. And some of them have said to me, well, you know, Pastor Ray, you know, if you take the vaccine, you know, you're going to really mess up your body. And I said to them, listen, I messed up my body by the things I put in it a long time before COVID-19. And if that didn't mess me up, this isn't going to mess me up if I choose to get it. What's worship? It's offering ourselves to God today. All we have is today. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. All we have is today. And live today sold out for Christ. Real worship isn't simply offering to God a liturgy. That may be. It's offering yourself to Him. It's not just something that we do. Worship is something that we are. It's a complete devotion to Him. Did you know that the first time that the English word worship is found in the Bible? You know where it is. It's in Genesis chapter 2, where 22, where Abraham takes Isaac up to the mount to worship the Lord. That's the first time we find the English word worship, and that's the first time we find the English word love. And it's all about sacrifice. You see, only in sight of God's mercy does offering our whole selves make sense. Anything less is irrational. What else are we supposed to do now that we've experienced the grace of God? Tim Keller said this, if what Jesus did does not break the ice over your soul, you must ask yourself if you have ever really understood the gospel. And I agree with him. So one of the things we need to do is we need to start thinking differently and we need to start living differently. So he tells us not to be conformed to this world. The patterns of thinking, the feelings, the behavior. The Greek word that is translated conformed is a word that describes the outward form that changes from week to week, month to month, year to year. Just look at the trends of clothing. I regret that I threw away all of my hippie clothing. Because now it's coming around. I would have been really in style. The jeans. You buy the jeans ripped? I worked hard to rip my jeans. I'll tell you, I paid a price to rip those jeans. And now I'm thinking, you know, the bell bottoms, my grandkids, the flowery shirts, the headbands, and this and that. I said, whoa. Wow. It just changes. Everything changes. Ladies, you know, who started wearing those black leotard pants? Now everybody's got them. You go all over the world. Every girl wears, even in India, underneath the saris, they have these black leotard pants. Who started that? I guarantee you, some guys get a mohawk. Next year's class, everybody's going to have a mohawk. Outward form. I know some of you are shaking your head. No, you get the idea. The Bible talks about the fashion of the world. It's always changing. Peter says that we are not to fashion ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance, but as he which has called us is holy, we are to be holy in every area of our life. We can't deny it. But the world really does pressure us to conform to its image. It really does. And this world is, it's a fallen system. Not the world that God created. It's a system that has been ruled by the prince of this world, by the God of this world. It's, John puts it this way, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I shared this with our congregation the last time we went through the book of Romans. Psychiatrists tell you to look at yourself. Advertising tells you to look at yourself. The world and religious circles make a living off of telling you to think about yourself. Jesus tells you, deny yourself. Just the complete opposite. What does it mean to deny myself? It means that I will willingly exchange my dreams, my goals, my standards for his will and his purposes in my life. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for transformed is metamorpho. And this speaks of an inner transformation. It means to be changed. It means to be transfigured. You know this, I'm sure you do. But it is the same word that was used in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, where it speaks of Jesus. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. That's the very same word. He was transfigured. You and I are to be transfigured. Where does that happen? On the inside. And what is the power that brings about the transformation within our lives? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. There it is, changed, metamorpho, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why the Spirit of the Lord is in you and in me. To change us, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said this, the customs of society will lead us away unless the grace of God rules within us with divine power. Renewing our mind. In other words, our minds are to be reoriented by the word of God. The prophet Isaiah said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, the purpose of us studying the Bible is not just to collect information. It's to think differently. Think radically. Now, keep this in mind. Jesus Christ, listen carefully, is the perfect theology of heaven on earth. So when he says, follow me, he wants us to think like him. Think of that. Think of that. I think of in the upper room when he breathes upon the apostles and he says this, listen carefully. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. What does that mean? Even so, I send you. I have, not with me today, I have a printout of what I call the wow scriptures of Jesus. The wow scriptures of Jesus. The ones that we explain away. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. What does that mean? Tom, you said, well, you're hesitant to answer. No, it can't mean what it says. Well, if that doesn't mean what it says, how can you and I believe anything else that Jesus meant what he said? That's just a starter, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater. Well, greater. Forget the greater. How about the works that he did? What did he do? Cast out demons. There won't be any demons in heaven. Pray for the sick. You won't need healing in heaven. Think of it. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. Even as Jesus came, we are on a redemptive mission. And we need to renew our thinking by the Word of God. Oh, it's very easy to get detoured now with my wild scriptures, but we won't get past verse 2. They're just incredible. Renewing our mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Ephesians 4, pardon me, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. After God. Whew. Okay. So the Bible wants us to be thinking differently. And I'm not just talking about in the supernatural. I really believe that. All right, I'm gonna go out on a limb now. All right, I love to challenge our people to pray for situations. Sometimes individuals they have these, and they're real things like allergies to food allergies. Oh boy, I'd really like to eat ice cream, but I can't. Or some, okay, all right, I get it. But, so, stay with me for a minute. I found that there are so many people who think, well, that's just the way it is in life. Says who? Says who? How many people did Jesus heal who thought, well, this is the way, I've just got this for the rest of my life? Why do we think like that? No. Jesus told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's the pattern? Heaven. Is it God's will that we live in strife? Unforgiveness? Bitterness? I can assure you when we get to heaven, we're not going to be bitter or strife or filled with envy. We need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind. And we're going to see this, hopefully, at the pace that I'm going. I don't know if we'll get there that far. We have to renew our mind in how we look at the people that hate us the most. What do you do with love your enemy? Where do you get that idea? How about, Father, forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. They didn't know that they were driving those spikes through your wrists, Jesus. They didn't know that they were ripping your back, the skin off your back, and you were bleeding. They didn't know. They knew exactly what they were doing. They could make Jesus bleed, but they couldn't make him hate. We need to renew our mind. Okay. Whew. Because we are by nature proud, covetous, selfish, stubborn. Well, you might not be. Unyielding. Stiff-necked. We need to renew our mind. I love Proverbs 1:23. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You know, one of the principles of receiving more revelation is by obeying the revelation that God's given to you. Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So here's Paul. He's telling these saints, present your bodies. Remember, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You and I are under new management. That's good. The old manager was horrible. Horrible. Your life now belongs to the Lord, and he wants you and I to yield it to him and to the control of his spirit. I was sharing this with my wife this morning. You know, Jesus wasn't a control freak. You know people that are control freaks? You know why Jesus wasn't a control freak? Because he knew who was in control. And people that are control freaks don't realize who's in control. That's so freeing. That is so freeing. And we need to renew our mind. Yes, Lord. I don't understand this. I don't grasp this. I don't even like this. But you are in control. Proverbs chapter 3 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God and to be led by the Spirit. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. In all your ways. Remember Philip in Acts chapter 8? He's in the middle of a successful revival in Samaria. And God tells Philip, go down to Gaza, which is a desert. Go, wait a minute. Wait. We're having 10 services here on a Sunday morning. And you want me to go to some desert area? Philip listened to the Lord. He obeyed the prompting of the Lord. He took the first step. He obeyed. And then came the second step. There's this Ethiopian eunuch. Go talk to him. He runs. You want to know the next step for your life? Be faithful to the first step. The second step in leading didn't come until Philip had obeyed the first step. If he had disobeyed the first command, he would never have received the second command. What am I trying to say? You and I will never know God's personal secret will from your life apart from being obedient to his revealed will for your life right now. Knowing the will of God. That's the most important thing for every one of us. Knowing the will of God. Walking worthy and pleasing to him. Being fruitful in all that you do. Increasing in the knowledge of God. How do we do that? By the kindling of our hearts with the deep meditation of God's mercy and grace. In other words, having gospel-shaped thinking. Gospel-shaped thinking. And then Paul jumps into verse 3. See, we're there already. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, one of the greatest hindrances to spiritual growth stems from us thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The Greek language here means above-minded. What is he talking about? The idea here is having an attitude of superiority. In other words, the proper understanding of the grace of God will always lead us to have a sober estimation of ourselves. A proper understanding of the grace of God will humble you. it will never cause you to think, wow, I'm all that in a bag of chips. You probably have figured that out, haven't you? No. You know, the word sober means to be in touch with reality. You know that this world is not in touch with reality? This world is not in touch. This world is so messed up. I'm having a physical Monday. So they send me a questionnaire. And I'm telling you the truth. They asked me for my gender. They wrote to me, Raymond Viola, what is your gender? What is your gender by birth? What is your gender by choice? I can't wait to meet with that doctor. Are you a male or a female? This world is so messed up. You mean I can be a woman today and a guy tomorrow? Are you kidding me? Listen, the Bible tells us to learn from nature. Male lions are male lions. Female lions are female lions. They don't switch genders. Then they ask me, are you bisexual? Heterosexual? I said, you've got... Ooh. I don't think this is going to be a long physical. I mean, really? Really? But that's the world we're living in. All of this rhetoric, this gender rhetoric, all of this is just all coming to a head. All coming to a head. Despite all of the warnings our culture gives about the danger of low self-esteem, the real danger is self-centeredness and egocentricity. You know, I think of when Peter and John were used by God to heal the lame man at the temple. The people gathered around Peter, right? Remember? They looked at him as if to say, boy, you must be a holy man of God to use you. And unfortunately, there are people that allegedly do miracles. I believe that God does a miracle through wackos. Not because of the wacko. That means false, phony. You know what I mean? That's Italian for phony. God heals people according to the desire that is in their hearts. Do I believe people were healed at Benny Hinn Crusade? Of course. Do I believe people could have got saved there? Yeah. Why do you think that they would have gotten more saved if they went to a Greg Laurie Crusade or more healed? If people get healed or people get saved, it's because God did it in spite of the instrument. What's the, oh, it's harvest. They're really saved. Where do you get that way of thinking? God does it. Right? Does God still heal today? Yes. Does God still do miracles today? Yes. Does God still deliver people from addictions? Yes. The gospel is God's one-step recovery program. Amen. Boom. He does it. So they're looking at Peter. Boy, look at you guys. You must be holy. Oh, yeah, you're right. I am. Yep, that's right. Look at the crowd. What did he say? Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you stare at us as though through our own power or godliness we've made this man to walk? It's the power of Jesus Christ. I believe that one of the evidences of a transformed life is humility. Real humility, not false humility. And I believe that one of the most necessary ingredients in the spirit being of a church is humility. Not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.